escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
I was just saying earlier, Mike Tyson never did an interview again with Buster Douglas. So for you to come in here to face the man who shattered your jaw.
Oh yeah, that's what it is.
Takes courage that I can't even takes more. I'm impressed.
Yeah, you know,
but actually,
does it hurt a little bit?
No, yours is still a little swollen.
You feel that? I can barely talk to sleep. I have to sleep with a night guard because my jaw is so warped from the drastic surprise hit that I took.
We will return to that. So the great.
Oh yeah, we're gonna return. All right.
The great white whale, Christian Foley, the last person on air to join me. Rich Keefe, who hates me. Dale, who hates me. Holly, who hates me.
Wait, Keefe was on this?
Keefe was on it when he first came in. Joey was like...
When you weren't giving him crap and
poking
him a little bit.
Oh, I gave him an honest chance. Joey said, can you have him on? I said, sure. So he came on, and he was all right. Glenn, of course, was on for like 12...
A two-parter.
I asked him one question.
Unbelievable.
For 2 hours and 18 minutes. We were on AM! We never went to FM!
I can't even, like... That to me is... I'm not even going to get into it. Of course he had a two-parter. He wouldn't have it any other way.
No, it was part of his, it had to be different.
Everybody does 1 hour. I got to do two.
How long do you think you could talk? If I said to you right now, start for the right, like it's one of these like, you know, terrible like comedies from like the 90s or like a one, like you have to, you wake up, you're like Ordway.
Yeah.
How long could you talk like
all
Ordway
day.
Without collapsing?
I actually challenge those guys, say, listen, I'm going to be Ordway the entire day.
You should do a whole show like Ordway.
I would like to do it. And the thing about his voice, everybody has a different take on it. Everybody sounds different.
Yeah, I don't know what.
But it never gets old. I giggle or laugh every single time I do it. And if I hear you do it or somebody else do it, I feel like we're the only ones that do it. Even when he does it, he does Ordway voice and not even his own voice.
But why is Ordway's voice, when I do it and you do it and others too, it has a southern...
I don't know.
You have it too, right?
I do.
I can't. Like, it's got that weird... I don't know why that is.
It's like he's...
Who's
the guy from the Dukes of Hazzard? Boss Hogg. It's like he's Boss Hogg with the white suit and the hat. He just rolls
in. I'm so sick of the Dukes.
Oh, Duke boy, they stole my moonshine all over again.
Why? That car is flying again.
Why can't you catch him?
Enos isn't doing his job. Anyway, so Christian Fourier joins me, co-host, tri-host of the now 2-6 show, which I was never really around for. I was already basically gone by the time you guys rolled around.
Yeah.
Basically, once the summer started. How is it? First of all, is there any difference at all from 2-6 to 10-2 is a bullshit.
Well, no. Well, the toughest thing for me was just mentally my clock was not wired for 2-6. Like, I'm shutting down at 4 o'clock. I'm doing kid stuff. That, honestly, I was falling asleep at 4 o'clock. At
right.
4 o'clock, I was just done, and I was drinking coffee out my, you know what, trying to stay awake.
You can say the you know what.
Oh, that's right. I'm on a podcast. Okay, yeah. I can curse.
You can
swear. But everybody comes on these podcasts.
Like,
and they're
fuck.
All tough guys.
What the fuck?
Ah, I can say shit and fuck. Ah, look at me. I'm a badass.
Right.
I'm like, you know, I'm just gonna talk. If I want to say fuck, I'm gonna say fuck.
Are you a big swearer conversationally?
It depends on who I'm with. And it depends on how inebriated I am.
Like before, sometimes. So if you're talking to Glenn and Lou during a break or on a conference call, are you a swearer or no?
It depends. Like, so if we're talking about...
Like Lewis.
If we're talking about a guy that we are both irritated by, it's your typical, this motherfucking asshole, this cucks, like, who the fuck does he think he is? Or if I'm yelling at somebody, like I yell at Glenn all the time and I curse at him, I fucking yell at him all the time.
Yell about what?
Whatever it is,
like off the
him,
air.
Him being Glenn, him being stubborn, him being you know, overly opinionated, thinking that he invented talk radio, I curse at him like.
Oh, let me hear it. Okay, I invented talk radio.
No, you didn't.
Yes,
you
I did.
Of course.
You weren't around. We won four Marconis.
Sure. The world revolves around you, Glenn. The thing about Glenn is that he just doesn't care. He just does not give a shit.
Well, he does have the thickest skin.
Yeah, and that is I like that quality.
It's an incredible, like he actually, because you're talking about him. He likes that.
That's what it
but
is.
It always, in the end, turns out about him.
But fuck him. Like, why are we going to talk about Glenn? I don't want this to be about Glenn.
What was your favorite Glenn moment?
My favorite Glenn moment?
What's up with your partner?
Here's my favorite Glenn moment. I tell you what, like, I've had a lot. I almost feel like since I got here, I've had more issues. Like, I have major street cred. I've been suspended multiple times.
You've had more issues than me since you got here?
You would be first. I would be second.
Oh, that's true. You do have some. Yeah, that's true. You did have a big one, too.
So, I mean, and Jerry, he would be the he's the old guy, but his stuff is so old, nobody really remembers
Orway it. Orway has nothing.
Nothing. And he does it on purpose.
Like, of course.
He's so careful on purpose.
He's purposely dickless.
Right there on the fence, and he just shows just a little bit enough of it so you know he has one.
Right.
But then he pulls it back in and hides it.
I voted for Rubio.
Right. Somebody finally got him to admit that he talked about Trump, that he voted for Trump. I'll admit it. I'll say it now. I voted for Trump.
Here it is.
I don't like everything he's done. Stupid.
Anyway.
So the show's going good. It took us a while. In the beginning, I honestly, I didn't think that we sounded like ourselves. I thought that
I agree.
It was just weird. And I said it in a meeting that we had, and it just wasn't our show. And I don't know if maybe we were forcing the issue because we got to a different time slot and the competition was better and the expectations were higher. So, and of course, Glenn agreed. I mean, Lou agreed with me. And Glenn, no, that's not it. But no, it wasn't the same. So, and I think we were forcing a lot of the issues, just forcing just the way we are. And I think it kind of got in the way, and it kind of tripped us up a little bit. But since then, we're back to being who we are.
Yeah, well, I thought, and I told you, I would tell you guys this, not that it matters, I think. But when your show got rolling from 10 to 2 after us, we had a thing going.
Yeah.
And then I thought you guys did a really good job of essentially not doing the same thing, but sort of the same, I don't know what the word is, attitude or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. And, you know, I thought it was kind of cool to see a show that, when you first started, it was disjointed a little bit. Glenn came in, it was better, but it was still, you know, you didn't really know Glenn.
No, I had met him once.
Right. So, to see it happen, and then once you get to that point where everyone's comfortable with everyone else, like, clearly the three of you guys are friends.
Yeah.
And you can break each other's balls and shit on each other. When you get to that moment, that's a good moment. Like, when I got there with Jerry fully, Dino was never really there. We kind of built the show. We could bring in Mutt and do this, or Alex and do this. When you're totally comfortable, that's the best feeling there is.
No, I totally agree with you. And we did vibe off you guys a lot based on a lot of the topics that you guys did. And there was also, it was contentious at times.
Yeah, it was.
And so that worked also. And then it just, you know, and with, you know, with Dale and Keith and whoever they had and Holly, it kind of died down because we didn't have as much. We weren't like we were friends with them. I mean, we liked them.
Right.
And it was a different situation with you guys. And we were fine with it because, you know, obviously Jerry and Glenn had their thing. And Lou knew everybody for such a long period of time.
Right.
And he knew Mutt. So there was always something there. So, and if you guys brought up whatever topic, if we had a dead segment, we would just bring that up or play sound and just run with it.
Well, I used to like the first, because I'd be driving home, the first segment that you guys did I liked because it was loose all the time, and there was never. I don't do radio anymore, but when I was a host, I wasn't a big fan, unless something crazy is going on, of jumping into a topic. Because if it's not great, it sounds fucking fake. So if three guys are bullshitting, I'd much rather hear you three guys dick around, have fun, if there's nothing else going on, and then find something.
Well, to me, that's the way I am, because even if we have a topic that we're all passionate about and we're in an opinion and have a really good opinion on,
yeah,
the light will go on, and literally just something comes to mind. I'm like, you know what? Why aren't there any good rappers? Why aren't there any good ex-ball players, football players, baseball players that have turned into really good rappers? Like, everybody comes up with a rap album, but none of them are top 10 hits. You would think with all the money that they have, it's just something stupid that or something that Glenn said that I want to tease him about.
Right.
So, but you obviously have to have a willing participant, like the guy who's with you. They need to egg you on, contribute.
Which Ben's was not. I actually liked
so
him.
So did I.
I liked him. I think he gets like put into the Salt. You weren't around for Salt, really, right?
Salt quit when I was working.
Oh,
my first
day,
I filled in. They said, come in. Holly leaves the building, the room,
that's
and
right.
Salt, who I don't know at all.
Yeah.
It says, hey, just so you know, he moves the mic away, and like it wasn't on anyways. Just so you know, this is my last day.
What'd you say?
I was like, oh, okay. And then he announced
it right
there.
You're like Forrest Gump. You were there for Rob Parker.
I was there for. I know. Aaron Hernandez, Ray Carruth. I mean,
that's
true. Name it. There's so many people that I was involved with. It's weird sometimes.
Like a slightly dumber Forrest Gump.
I'll take that. And I had knee braces like Forrest Gump when
did,
I was
really?
Younger. I swear to God, I did these. I was going to show my son one day because I had all these knee issues growing up. I was always hurt. And finally, these doctors gave me these old school. Akeem Olajuwon, I think, had one. I remember when the doctor came in, he said, you can have the same knee brace as Akeem Olajuwon.
Right.
And it was this huge thing, and I wore two of them.
How old were you?
I was like a sophomore in high school.
Jesus.
Sophomore and junior in high school. And finally, I just took them off. My legs were strong. I didn't have the knee braces on
Did
anymore.
You see this thing on Twitter last week about the Forrest Gump sequel?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Is that the most fucked up thing you ever heard in your life? So the screenwriter, Eric Roth, who wrote the original, turned in a script on September 10th, 2001.
Yeah.
Literally turned it in.
So Zemeckis and Hanks
Zemeckis.
Were all meet. They
yeah,
all
they were
met
gonna,
on it.
Right. They were going to do it where Haley Joel Osment
yeah.
gets AIDS because Jenny had it,
yeah.
right? And Forrest Gump's like best friends with like Timothy McVeigh or something.
No,
he
was on the so he was at the Oklahoma City bombing.
Right, McVeigh.
Because he befriended a woman who worked there.
Oh, that's right. That's
so
was,
he was on the bus and then he watched the building blow up.
That doesn't sound like to me.
He was in the best thing about it, and this would be something that would be in a Saturday Night Live. He was in OJ's Bronco.
Oh, that's right. That's
he found
right.
himself
that's
in all these that's odd, right. weird. Right. He was part of a Hurricane Katrina down in New Orleans.
It wouldn't work. That would not have worked.
It just was so stupid.
It's
it was so forced. It was like Caddyshack. I remember you talk about movies that have great sequels. There's not a lot of them.
Well, here's the toughest thing about sequels. Okay, I find comedy sequels to be impossible. Godfather 2 is great. Godfather 2 is a great movie.
Yeah.
It's not a comedy, but give me a great comedy sequel.
Well, there aren't any that I can think of.
Weekend at Bernie's 2? I don't think so.
No, well, you go with, I remember Caddyshack.
Caddyshack 2 had Jackie Mason.
It wasn't even
terrible. He wasn't in it.
Dangerfield.
Ghostbusters 2 sucked.
Terrible.
Airplane 2 sucked. I'm trying to remember some other
ones. I would even
say Hangover 2 sucked.
Hangover 2 sucked.
They all, I think.
It's not worth it. It's a money grab, fine.
Total money grab.
So well, that's fine, but it never. None of them actually live up to the expectations.
No.
So
Rocky 2, good sequel.
I would say in some categories, like Rocky 2 is actually better. It's longer. It's drawn out.
It's a little depressing,
You have
though.
To wait for
the
it.
The middle is so depressing,
because
though.
She gets sick, and right. then he doesn't want to fight, but you know he does.
Do you have an issue with Rocky not seeing his kid the entire time?
Yeah, Rock's weird.
They bring
in the new ones.
They bring him in, and they bring the baby in, little Rocky, yeah, and he's like, "Oh, I didn't want to see him." I'm like, "You didn't see your fucking kid while Adrian was in a coma?
Okay,
how long
is,
was she in a coma
this
for?"
This is a guy that was working on the docks.
It's
okay,
true.
He used to bounce a freaking ball around
true,
with his
true.
Little gloves on, his
true.
Biking.
He was
gloves.
Working at the meat place just like 2 months before that.
First of all,
you didn't like Creed 2?
I did not like Creed 2.
Oh, what here's the my fuck? Here's, Creed 2 no, was great.
Creed 2 was great.
Yes, it made you feel actual sympathy for fucking Dolph Lundgren. I felt bad for him.
Okay, so that part, I actually thought they could have pushed that up a little bit more.
They should have
made
more of
that
it.
Even better.
They should have
had
more
of that. That story, if you want a spinoff, they should have done like Dolph or whatever, and then just like
the
Creed.
Dragos?
The Dragos.
It's like a Netflix miniseries.
But here's the thing with
Rocky. I don't care about the girlfriend in
the
new
need,
one.
Rocky needs to die. So in Creed, Rocky can't even hold the bags. He can't hold the gloves. In Creed 2, he's throwing the medicine ball. He's hitting him in the ribs. Suddenly, he's fine.
He doesn't have cancer anymore.
It's a joke. No, but before he had cancer, he was just arthritic, and he couldn't move. I can't hold the gloves. So we had the young guy hold the gloves. Now, all of a sudden, he's, like, fine again? No, here's what they need to do.
Very passionate.
And I've said this for years, yes.
You said this for years?
Yes, I have said this
for years. Parties and events?
No, when it comes to Rocky.
By the way, there's no bigger Rocky fan than me.
Okay, well, we'll have a battle on that.
So let's be careful.
Okay, here's how it needs to end with Rocky.
I think
they need to kill him.
No, we're done. We're done. Can't we just be done? This ended nice. He saw his kid. He's dead. He's essentially dead anyway.
You know the movie Shane? You ever seen the movie Shane?
Of course I have.
Okay, Shane runs off in the
distance. Shane.
Is he dead? Is he alive? Come back, Shane. Come back, Shane.
Why do you want to kill Rocky Balboa off?
It needs to end.
Will that satisfy you?
Yes.
How's he going to die? Was it old age?
How would Rocky die? Well, they tried to give him cancer. He beat cancer.
Of course he did. He's Rocky.
He's Rocky.
He's Rocky.
There's nothing can keep him down.
But I want to know, in Creed 2,
he's either going to have to get shot, something really bad and gruesome.
He's gonna get shot?
Yeah.
Shoot him.
He needs to be murdered.
How did Rocky find this training place in Creed 2, by the way?
When has he been around?
Like,
point. Here's
it was a good Creed, training sequence, though.
Creed, they didn't get hokey. They didn't get all silly. They kept it really neat. With Creed 2, they got into the Rocky 3 where Mr.
That's exactly what it was. He's
following the script.
Adonis lost the eye of the tiger.
Exactly.
Right? Perfect.
So he has to go into the Rocky desert instead of going to L.A.
Rocky 3 is the greatest movie ever made. The most entertaining movie.
Yeah, I'll tell you
it's
what.
It's a movie I think I've seen more than any other movie in my life.
Yeah. I had one of the proudest moments of my life, and this is weird that I'm even saying this. So my brother died a couple years ago, right? So I took my whole family, flew my whole family out to Los Angeles for the funeral.
You didn't stay at that hotel, did you? Where Rocky stayed at?
No, I did not stay. I couldn't find it. Believe me, I do a tour. But I've gone to the steps, though, and recreated that whole thing in Philly also.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and sure enough, on the plane, they had Rocky. And my kids had never seen Rocky.
Rocky
my
won.
Daughter, yeah. Mm. And my daughter's looking for something to watch. And I'm like, listen,
tough
trust me.
Right. How old is
trust
she?
Trust me.
She's
18. She's
going
to college, freshman
right?
in college now.
No,
so
where's she?
Senior last year.
Yeah, right.
And I said, listen, trust me. Just deal with it. It'll get unbelievably awesome, and you'll love it. It'll be one of your favorite
it's
movies.
It's a slow watch for a kid now.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, right. So I remember watching. She was sitting in front of me. I was watching the screen. And she turned around when it was over. And it was almost like there was a tear in her eye. She gave me the thumbs up. I was like, yes! Yes! That's what I'm talking about. You don't know what you're missing.
Well, yeah, I mean, so how many kids? You have like 14 kids?
I actually have 7 between my wife and I. 4 with my first wife. She has 2 with her husband, and then we have 1 together. So we have 7.
She has 2 with her husband.
She has 2
your
with
current
her,
wife.
Yeah,
she has 2 with her ex-husband.
With her ex, so we have 7 all together.
Do any of them watch television, or they all watch YouTube?
They're all on their iPads, YouTube.
My kids don't watch
Fortnite.
My son's now into that. They don't watch anything. Nothing.
It is really weird.
You can't even get them to watch a movie.
No. And you know what? I found? Here's what I found. If I show them the classics, so the other day, just randomly, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids was
on. I was going to say, I want to hear what Christian Fourier's definition of a movie classic is.
Well, for them.
For a kid classic.
Something that they would be interested in.
Right. Not the God. Yeah. Well, how old?
Or this old movie called Girls Just Want to Have Fun, which was my
wife's
favorite.
It's the one with Shannon Doherty.
Parker. Sarah Jessica Parker. Yes, old school 80s. Every John Hughes theme you can think of was in it. Okay.
Well, we need to re-examine John Hughes in the Me Too era, though. Don't forget that.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yes.
So do I have to do that now with every old
school
reference?
Yes, you will. Well, the Breakfast Club. The Breakfast Club I watched with my daughter, and like afterwards, I read something a couple of days later. Molly Ringwald came out and said, "Boy, I hate this because they make Ally Sheedy look pretty." And John Bender's an asshole, and I'm just like, what can I do now? Like, where do I start? Like, I don't know what, and God forbid somebody's in it or produced it or directed it. We're fucked.
I had Weird Science.
Kelly LeBrock, sure.
Half the stuff that's in there, you can't say in an R-rated movie.
No chance.
You can't do it in an R-rated movie. Right. But just to change gears real quick, so Ally Sheedy Breakfast Club, right? Do you like the drugged up, weirded out Ally Sheedy from Breakfast Club or the transformation?
I'm equally I like the Ally Sheedy from War Games.
No, that's not an option.
Yeah, that's not
an option. War Games, everyone likes Ally Sheedy.
I like Ally Sheedy in Short
Matthew
Circuit.
Matthew Broderick?
Short Circuit 2, another bad one.
Oh, of course it is.
The sequels suck. That's my point. Comedy sequels. So let me even try and find one. I don't know how we got
so
there.
So one of my favorite movies is Rounders.
Yeah, Rounders is a good one.
Okay.
They've talked about doing a sequel to that.
Again, but...
You don't want that.
No.
We're good.
What are we, the Bourne Identity? How many times are we going to get a new guy?
We're good. We're good.
So, okay.
Do you go to the movie still or no?
It's got to be really good. It's got to be something...
Creed 2 in the theater?
I did see Creed 2 in the theater, and I purposely waited for that. Because I wanted to have, I remember that when I saw Creed, it was just so good. It lived up to every bit of my expectations as far as how Creed came up and how, just, and they brought in just as far as, you know, modern day, you know, from the four wheelers to the motorcycles.
Yeah, it was an updated
version.
All that
stuff to the rap being part of it.
The director was perfect.
He would be part of that life.
Right.
So, the last movie, I can't remember. I think Creed 2 was the last movie I actually went to.
Do you enjoy... Like, do you enjoy doing this? Do you like this career that you've now that you're now in? I mean, you've been doing this for a while now.
No,
5 years?
No, I love my job. I love it. And I say that without any hesitation whatsoever.
Well, you do bitch about it a lot. I mean, gossip and bitch and...
Well, here's the thing. So I remember when I took the job, the first person I talked to was Holly. And I call up Holly and I was trying to get an idea what's going on. Like, you know, what's the attitude there? What's the vibe there? You know, what's it like to work there? And he was just really, you know, honest with me. He's like, just don't trust anybody.
It's the right attitude.
Don't trust anybody.
Well, you trust Lou and Glenn.
Yeah, but...
Oh, you trust Lou.
I wouldn't trust Glenn.
Right. No, I
think Glenn would probably stab me in the back quicker. If he found another ex tight end that was out there looking for some work.
Wiggy, super talent.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I think he's fresh.
Yes.
He's got a fresh voice.
He has a good time. He's funny.
And he's from Boston.
You hear that accent? That's a great accent.
From LA.
Christian, can you have a Boston accent?
I do. Which was funny because that's what led me to our altercation in the first place.
Oh, we're gonna do this now?
Why not? We're kind of just going all
over. All right, so we'll just give a little, just in case. Not everyone who's tuning in is a local Boston listener. Christian and I did a morning show. Christian then was on the show afterwards, and we didn't really get off to a great start anyway. I think we just didn't... Like, I actually think we're actually... I don't know if we're friends now, whatever it is, but I think we...
Yeah, I would say so.
Like, I think
I would say, just to deviate, I think, which is weird, is that when you have life issues that are similar to other people, regardless,
right.
I think that gives you a new awareness and understanding of whatever.
You're
just
talking
all together.
About both of our eating disorders.
Yes. And I still have that bowel problem that I just can't shit on a regular basis.
It's weird.
It comes out like a bowling ball.
I've tried to help you. I've watched it. I filmed it. I have
six hemorrhoids from the last time I went to the shitter.
Can happen. So we had, before the big one, we had, am I doing this right? We had like an altercation where you came in for a crossover way back in the Dino days.
Yes. Yeah. First of all, the crossover sucked.
It sucked for everyone.
Okay. I didn't know anybody. I didn't know you. I didn't know Dino. I didn't know Jerry. And so,
Crossovers are exactly that. Our show would end, and you'd come in and say, hey, we got fucking Mike Florio on.
Yeah, and you guys hated him.
You didn't want to do him.
I was like, why are we even doing this? Go in there, So they would call for us. I was like, I'm not doing it. So I went in there, and my thing is, like, I just felt, didn't know you at all.
Right.
But was just there, and my point was, like, it feels like this guy's trying to stick it to me. This guy doesn't even know me.
True.
Doesn't know me at all.
Yes.
And it's just, I wish it wasn't going to be anybody's chump. It just wasn't going to go down like that, regardless of where we were.
Right.
I was like, it's just not the way I do things.
So to your credit, you came in.
Well, but backstory is, so I'm sitting there with Lou, and I'm like, you know what? Fuck this.
Was,
like,
Ben's there at that point?
Yeah, no, Ben's there. Yeah, I came in, I said, I'm gonna go in there, and I'm gonna fucking just lose my shit on purpose. I'm gonna go crazy. Right. I'm trying to, like, I mean, let me just get into it. So right. I'm like, fuck it, like, I can do this.
Sure.
So I get in there, but the reality crept in, and
which was
I was freaking pissed.
Oh,
I was
like, fuck
this motherfucker. Who the hell does this motherfucker think he is? He's out of his fucking mind.
I don't remember.
And that microphone isn't going to save your ass.
I don't remember why were you that mad?
I don't remember exactly. Yeah. But I could tell that you were trying to stick it to me and get a response.
I don't think so.
So, and of course, what did I know? I'm so green. I have no idea.
Just.
I have no idea. So I walked in there, and I remember, just, you know, it just got out of hand. I remember I started shaking. My blood
that's what I remember.
I remember
thinking, like, holy shit, while that's going on, like, this fucking guy is going to break my jaw. Like, because your hands were really, I was like, Jesus, he's really, But it was at the point where even when it was over, I couldn't really even talk to you to be like, hey, like, let's, it's, no, it's no. Okay. Like, let's not.
No, again, but didn't, I didn't know. I also, I was a little naive because I didn't, I just didn't want to, first of all, I didn't know you. So there's no trust there whatsoever.
True.
So I'm not going to sit there and play some games for the guy. I'm fine being part of the joke and being in on the joke or being the butt of the joke. But I kind of want to have a.
I'm not sure that was as true now then as it is now, though.
What, as far as what?
Just, I think you were just didn't know. I think you were just so new to it that you didn't know which way.
Well, but
it was
I up. Also, but I also thought that there was this a different set of like a camaraderie, like a football team, where there was an actual instant trust.
Right.
I'm looking out for you. We're all on the same team.
Yeah.
We're
what's
on
funny
the same
though,
team,
right.
And I'm like, well, okay, well, we benefit from you. You benefit from us. So why are we like ripping each other? Why
but
we,
see, in my mind, I actually think, and that's where others just disagree. Like, I just think that that's good radio, so it actually is good for everybody.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that that's a bad thing. I just think, well, okay, fine. If we don't like each other, we shit on each other. Then you guys start your show, you talk about it, there's a built-in audience, and then they say, oh, I like these guys, and off we go.
Yeah, see, I'd much rather like someone and shit on them.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
Because it's still,
yes.
Because I think there needs to be.
Oh, I think there is a spot, though, for occasional real,
sure.
real anger.
Yeah, but again, I was able to get past it. I wasn't going to hold on to it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I thought we were.
And then I remember like.
It was always icy, though, after that.
No, it was. And I knew it was going to happen again. And
it was always creeping around.
And it did because I wasn't backing down. And I know your crazy ass was just going to keep
I was ready.
On.
I was ready.
So I was like, all right, well, fine. I was like, listen, I can do it too. So if you want to play that game.
I almost feel like you want to do this again here.
No.
Let's go. Let's fucking go.
No. Wait, hold on. Wait. Because it gets. Because
we got to slow down, though. So in history at that point, so we had this altercation.
So that one's over. I remember we actually bled into our show, and we didn't even go off the air till like maybe 10:15 or something like that. Dina wasn't saying a word. Jerry was.
I think I was actually standing up at one point too. Like we were both like yelling at each other. Like I don't even know. I would like to go listen to because I have no idea what it was about. I'm sure it was about nothing.
I hate listening to it because it sounds like
we both sound.
It just sounds.
So you both sound
just
crazed.
So, I'm so embarrassed.
We
by
both
it.
Sound crazed.
Out of body experience.
Was there anybody else who's been able to get you that mad? Can you just say
well,
no?
See,
for my own ego?
Probably not.
All right, thank
but
you.
But here's the thing, though. The answer is yes. But there's always been an easy way for me to get back at people like that. You fight them.
Right.
Or you get them on the field. Usually something like that happens.
Yeah. Oh, who's a player that did that?
One guy, just Anthony Simmons. I remember he was a guy that I hated. And I remember I was waiting. Even if a guy, I would never let a guy know that they got to me. I would just kind of put in the back of my head. And when I got an opportunity, now it may have taken me a year.
Right.
But if I found out, if I had an opportunity to sneak him and like fuck him up, well, then I was going to fuck him up legally.
Yeah.
And either during a game or a practice. So he knew that, okay, now I have you, right? Whether it be me just standing on top of you after a block or whatever, I was going to get back at you, so I felt better.
So, okay, so I'm trying to do the... So that happens, we have that, and then it's a period... I don't know how long the period of time is between the fight and that. The fight, I know, was in November of 2016. The reason I know that is I was actually going to take... My mom was born in Nova Scotia. She grew up there. That weekend, I was scheduled to fly, just me and her and my daughter were going to fly up and see them. My wife wound up going instead of me because we had all the crazy shit going on with us that weekend. So it's your fault I didn't get to spend more time with
you. Oh, great. That's fucked up.
The last thing she said to me before she died. Yeah. She's like, I really wish, what happened that
trip?
Weekend?
Yeah. I missed one day.
I'd be alive. I would still be alive.
See, yeah, okay.
So that's the only reason I remember it. So Paul Chartier, the late Paul Chartier, who was producing your show, I think at the time, was producing our show before and got audio of you guys.
I remember that. Yeah.
This is what started it, essentially.
That was part of it.
That was the final trigger.
Yeah, and
where you guys said you wanted to be, which by the way, you said you guys wanted to do an afternoon show when you were midday. I think every midday show feels like that.
My thing is my schedule was perfect the way it was.
Okay, well, I'm just
because I worked for CBS on the weekends and I had my kids, so it really wasn't anything I was looking for.
Okay, my point is most midday hosts, you know, it's more money. It's a bigger drive. I think that's not unreasonable.
Here's my thing: was my schedule. I was making just as much
with the CBS
more
stuff.
Yeah, because I'd work 12 Saturdays, and it paid more than
the show made.
And then I was done. So it was great.
Well, whatever. That altercation happened that day. We played that sound, which there's just no way I'm not going to play that sound when I have it. I played it.
Which is our fault. Which is basically our fault. When I think about it, if somebody gets you here,
you would definitely do that.
Yeah.
Of course you would. So I mean, three years later, like, you understand why we did it.
Yeah.
And you were awfully pissed about it at the time. But I think as a show,
we were all kind of pissed just because there was a disrespect. I was like, what the? First of all, what is Paul doing?
Well, that's different.
What is Paul doing?
Right.
And so that pissed us off.
So right, go ahead. No, go ahead.
But it just the way it went down. Yeah, it was, and of course there was already still some irritation and animosity.
Yeah, there was some residue.
So I was like, "This motherfucker,
why is it only me?"
Because it is only you. Do I think Jerry? It's not Jerry's first. Okay, Curtis, thank you. That little snake.
Thank you.
Okay, so
my point is historically with the snake, it was always me, always.
Yeah.
Always.
But it is always you.
That's true.
I take pride in that.
I do, actually.
Jerry just sent back to, oh, there goes Kirk.
I wouldn't have played it.
The best thing is when Jerry does it Ordway voice, because he does it in his voice. Yeah, it doesn't work.
I don't know why the Celtics aren't doing better than that. Our show ends.
Yeah.
And you know how it is when you can tell there's tension, like, just it's emanating from your all the way through. It's just sweet. I'm like, so I'm walking out. And it could jump in any time if I'm not saying something correctly. And Joey is walking you into the studio. Now, of course, I could have left and gone that way. I could have left early, but I was like, I am fucking waiting. So you walk by, you don't say anything, and Joey walks by. And I could have kept walking, but I kind of snickered, I think.
Yeah, you did.
I did.
Yeah.
Which kicked everything off.
Yeah, that was all it took. If there was no dialogue, or if you just kept your eyes straight, it would have been a clean sweep,
although,
and I would have started the show, but it would have eventually
it would have
blown
happened
up
anyway.
So it was fine.
Right. It needed to happen.
Yes.
So, and I will cop to my mistakes here later on. So next thing I know, I am up against the wall.
Keep going. I'll let you give your side of it.
Up against the wall, being called, I forget what the word was, repeatedly.
So you can say it.
I forget what it was. Asshole?
Bitch. I think
bitch.
A little bitch. Little bitch.
Little bitch. Little bitch. Little bitch. Little bitch. To my credit, I have to say, I was there. I knew I was getting my ass kicked, but I was not going to. I felt like you wanted to have your shot, you could have your shot. That was kind of my thought, you know? That's fine. So, and then all of a sudden, 30 people get in the middle of it, right? Or whatever. You know what I mean? Whatever. Yeah. Jerry, Lou, Paul.
Glenn.
Glenn's a big help in that situation. Let him go. I can't grab his waist. I can't do it. He's like, Glenn's holding Curtis or something.
I saved the day. I saved the station.
And then I don't know how specific you want to get. We don't have to because
we don't have to go.
So I said something really stupid, which I've apologized for, dumb.
Yeah, which I accept it.
Yes,
dumber.
Which then led to the final sort of thing where we were never like, I mean, get this. At that point, I was kind of like, we're now doing this thing where clearly, if you really wanted to come get me, you would have got me. Like, we're now in this weird, like, thing we're pretending, like...
Well, no, because, okay...
Because, I mean, you could have bull-rushed through fucking Paul Chartier to get to me.
And that was the thing. Easily.
Okay.
Easily.
But you could see where I'm thinking at the time, like, what the fuck?
Well, see, it gets worse for you, in my opinion.
I agree. No, I totally agree.
Because of what you did afterwards.
That's what I just said.
So that's technically, that's somewhat accurate.
Oh, I think that's accurate to that point.
Okay, so but you getting against the wall, I never put my hands.
No, but you
on
had me against the wall like this.
No, I did
not. You did.
No,
yes,
I
you
did.
Did.
That's a lie.
Let's reenact it right now.
That's a lie.
Yes, you did.
That is not true.
I would have walked away.
Wait, hold on a second. No, what you felt was me just really close to you. Okay, and you purposely, and I know this for, and I've been in these situations before.
Not a lot
you
of
didn't
lot,
want, you not, didn't want to leave.
Not a lot of toothbrushing
that morning.
You
were trying
from you.
To listen. I just ate drinking my coffee. So no, I wasn't going to. I knew. Here's the thing. I knew I couldn't physically put my hands on you because I would have lost my job if I physically touched you. So I knew I couldn't do that. So there was no elbow. There was no hands. I wasn't.
See, I remember.
Which is fine.
And you might be right. And by the way, you might be right. So
it's irrelevant.
Clearly, there was intimidation, physical intimidation.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Right.
Because I
on my end to you, yes.
I knew. And plus, that only lasts so long.
Yeah, at some point, you got to do something.
At some point, you either got to shit or get off the pot.
Right.
I was never going to shit. So.
If I just walked away at you, would you just let me walk away?
As far as what do you mean?
Well,
so
according to you, like if you're like this against me, right?
Yeah.
According to you, if I just sort of slinked by and walked to, it would have been over?
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't. Well, I knew that what my goal was to get in your face as much as possible, so you actually gave me an excuse to put my hands on you.
Right.
So if you would have touched me at all, if you would have grabbed my arm, then you were going to end up going down to the ground. Like that's
well, you
that's
would, you would,
and
you,
I knew you
well,
weren't going to do
well,
that.
Well, you would have tried anyway.
I have this one move. Believe me, my brother was an all-state wrestler, so I've been in every move possible. So I knew that was I knew you wouldn't do that because you obviously were you know this is all part of it.
Well, I didn't expect this to happen.
I know, but once the fireworks start going, the bullets are live.
Well, then you're
I
just,
think everybody.
Yeah.
It's okay. How do I save my job? Okay, how do I look better? You know, how do I diffuse the situation? Well, that, because somebody's going to get involved.
You call it diffuse?
Diffuse. Diffuse. Yeah, it's a California term.
Is that right?
Yes.
They say diffuse in California.
Yeah, it's an emphasis on the I.
It's diffuse, I think. So okay, so
it's a hockey term.
So
you
Canadians say it that way?
You diffuse the puck.
So this happens. We're done. I go back into the office first. Are you on the air or no?
So obviously the adrenaline is running like
of
crazy.
Of course, yeah.
And I think the show started and I realized at that point. So I felt like I fucked up the first time because I when we first got an issue, and then there was all this talk about, hey, keep everything in house. Okay, nothing's personal. Things were always crazy. So I'm like, all right, this is just the way it is. So things are crazy.
This seemed especially crazy.
But it was still par for the course. Nobody got hit.
No, that's true.
Nobody got punched.
Yeah.
You said a lot of stupid shit.
So did you, yeah.
And so I was like, fine, all right, I'm going to let it go because my goal was the station. I just want the station to be successful. I just want to keep everybody, for the most part, happy and content. So the show starts, so Lou is in there and Glenn is in there. And I tell those guys, I got to go talk to Joe.
Right.
So I got to go talk to Joe.
Right.
And I say, you know what, before, I didn't know what you were doing. I just knew I needed to talk to you.
I hadn't done anything. I was in the office. So Joey calls me out to the... By the bathrooms, right?
So first I talked to him and I'm begging him. I say, please let me talk to him. Let me just talk to him. He's like, no. And
which is probably correct.
Let me talk to him. I said, I promise you on everything that is holy. And I promise on a lot of stuff that is important to him. And so he trusted me.
Right.
So I said, let me talk to you. And I said,
Joey was there, I think.
I don't remember what I said.
I remember exactly. You said, hey, listen, you said you overreacted.
Yeah.
You said you were sorry. I said I was sorry for what I said, and I talked about, I don't know if it was then or when I talked to you on the phone a couple of days later, because there's a story come out involving you, and I have actually defended you in that situation.
Yep.
So I was like, you know, knowing, like, when I look at it from my perspective now, before we get to the other stuff, so in my head, and it's not something I'm proud of, there's a couple of lines I always have about people in my career that I work with and I know will really piss them off, and I store them away. That was one of them. So in that situation, I knew I had that in my pocket. It's not something I'm proud of. I used it, and I saw your reaction. I did that to piss you off.
Of course you did,
and I apologize for that. That's nothing to be proud of. Like I was sorry about it that day, and I'm sorry about it now. That was a stupid thing to say.
Okay, so
I think it might have been the second. Actually, it might have been the stupidest thing I did that day.
Well, at that point, I was like, whatever.
But it was dumb.
It was a cheap shot, and
it was
really lazy and cheap. But whatever, fine. This is the world we live in. When in Rome,
it was stupid.
It still didn't matter to me, and I was
you were still pissed at that point though.
Yeah, but I just wanted everyone to. I want you to go to Nova Scotia. I want you to go hang out with. I knew you were going.
You didn't say that to me that day.
Here's what
Joey's mistake was, one of many in his career, was he should have said, "You and you are going home. Security's going to bring you each to your cars, and you come back Tuesday. You're both gone Monday. Christian, you're done today.
Yeah.
Kirk, you're done Monday. Christian, you're done Monday." That's what he should have, in my opinion. Now, easy to say 3 years later, right? But that way, we're just
but
done.
But see, it wasn't really. But to me, the two shows, specifically the morning and midday show at the time, there was a lot of camaraderie, at least understanding. I would say a lot of understanding because Glenn, Lou, those guys were really tied in. So I was just trying to fit in. I'm like, you know what? We're all going to handle stuff in house. Everything's going to be handled in house. We're going to live in a crazy world, and this is going to be a kangaroo court. So we're not involving anyone who could fuck shit up for everybody.
Agreed.
We're just going to deal with it like men.
Agreed.
Let me apologize.
I think that's fair.
And be done with it and move on, and that's it.
That's fair. So then on my end.
So I think that we're done, and I go start doing the show, and I'm like, oh, this is fine. Okay, everything's good. It's just like any other day.
I bet if you listen to that show, you'd feel differently now. I bet you'd be like...
No, but I will tell you, I felt like it was over for that day, and there wasn't any...
You felt like in some ways you had sort of had a release from all the anger
and stuff.
Yeah,
it was like,
it's fine.
Everything's fine. Okay, we'll start up another time, but okay, at least I apologize to you.
Right.
And I was mentally able to move on.
So I went then to HR strictly 3 years later to be a dick. Like, just to be a dick. Like, I just did it to be a dick. There's no other...
That same day.
Yeah, yeah. I was pissed.
Same day,
I was pissed
after I apologized to you.
Yeah, but I didn't feel that apology. Like, I didn't.
That was a sincere apology.
That's
man.
Fine, but
you think that was easy for me to walk?
No,
in
no.
There
but,
and
I'm saying,
to
but I'm saying, 10 minutes later, I was like, I don't fucking care. This guy's apologizing. I'm just telling you what I was like. Then.
Okay,
right. So I'm like, fuck him. Fuck this asshole. Fuck him. Like, I'm going to HR to fuck this guy. Which 3 years later, hold on. Which 3 years later, I could say is a total asshole move, and I apologize for it.
Yeah, that was the worst.
And by the way, I'm going to HR after this. I'm not happy with your attitude.
I don't think they accept you now.
I don't like your comedy sequel.
You're the one. Name.
I don't like your comedy sequel theory. It makes me uncomfortable.
You know the scene in Braveheart when Mel Gibson gets betrayed by the Bruce. You know when he's sitting on his
knees.
Look
he has on his face when he's like, when he gets unmasked?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the way I felt. I felt ultimately betrayed,
totally.
Which I thought was just a working understanding of how things should be, which I was fine with.
Well, I know you were fine with it.
No.
Hold on.
Because
that's not true.
No, that is true because I told you, because I remember after, I was in New York, I was getting ready to do a show.
We talked on that Monday.
I talked to you on the weekend.
Okay,
because I was getting ready to do a show, and I remember they kept calling for me. I was on the phone with you. I couldn't get off, and I was fine with it.
I'd done this, though.
This was. We had both been suspended.
Right, we both been suspended.
And I was in New York City, and I just got on the phone with HR, and they're going over all this stuff, and I'm telling my side, and all this stuff is going on.
I was pissed about HR things.
And I'm sure we both were, but whatever. Yeah. I didn't think I should have been suspended. You think you shouldn't have been suspended.
Correct.
And I was fighting to get you suspended and not me. I was like, fuck this guy. He's fucking antagonizing me.
It's
betrayal. This is the fucking
problem. It's
more
betrayal right there.
Okay. So it wasn't that. I was, again, my producer was right next
What's
to me.
What's funny, though, by that time, I was talking to HR, ironically, even though I essentially kickstarted it, although one might argue you did by... making the first altercation, in my opinion, I was actually saying that neither one of us should be suspended.
Yeah, no, they were talking about suspending me without pay. I was like, for fucking what?
We each got a day, right?
For what?
We got with pay,
still,
though, right?
It was, I don't remember. I don't know. I've been suspended so many times.
No, that's true. You have so many war stories.
So
we talked that day, and I thought we actually had a... So I apologized. I think I even apologized that day for doing the HR thing. I was like, that's a shitty thing to do.
I don't think you did. I don't think I saw you again. They kept us apart.
I must have at some point, though, because I know I have.
Because I remember at the time, there was... I don't know when, because I remember the afternoon show. Keith was you were doing something with Keith, and Keith used this as ammunition for himself, which I thought was brilliant because it was such a cheap move, which I thought was just totally breaking the bro code, just of the crazy world that we were living in.
Now, see, I would argue, so I'd give you my side of that, which is that it just never gets physical. Like, you shit on each other, and you get dirty, and you get ugly, and you never go after somebody else.
Okay, so...
It's radio. Here's your weapon in radio. You're bigger than me. You're stronger than me. You can beat me up. Your weapon is your brain and your microphone.
Well, again,
So you go on the air that day and say, this motherfucker did this. Whatever you want. If I ever once complained about anything you ever said about me on the air?
No.
Or Lou? Of course not. That to me is that when it becomes physical, that becomes a different world. Because there's no reason for
okay,
that.
Okay, and again...
Does that make sense or no?
Again, that's your world.
Wait, okay. Does that make sense, though?
That makes sense to you, but like I told you...
Get your hand off me.
It's on your thigh.
I don't mind it.
That's your world, so you do things and handle things differently, so you can't dictate
the
terms.
Yeah, but you're a talk show host.
But it doesn't matter.
Yes, it
you
does. You're a talk show host.
You can't dictate the terms.
Of course I can.
You. No, you can't.
Well, I did.
No, but you didn't.
But I did that day.
How so?
Well, I went on the air and did my thing, and I was waiting for you
to
do your
thing.
Okay,
and look what happened. So did it work out for you? It didn't really work out. We both got suspended.
Nothing really happened,
so in the end, it didn't work out.
No, but I would say at the end, it turned out not to be a big deal.
But the point is...
Right?
So
we each got suspended a day. It wasn't like the end of the world.
In the grand scheme of things, as far as suspensions...
Yeah, I would agree.
My biggest issue with my suspensions is that they are never in the summer.
Yeah, you fucked
never
up
Never in
there.
The summer.
You
I screwed
up there.
So... whatever. So
anyway,
so again,
it's just good. You have still a lot of resentment toward me on this.
No,
which I appreciate. I don't mind it.
No, you're the way you think about it is just it's just it, it's just the way you are, which is fine. But
right, the way you think about it is the way you are.
Which is fine, but
of course.
I don't consider it. You go, oh, it's red. You can't touch me. No, that's what you like to think. You like to think that you're untouchable.
But it's not MMA radio.
It doesn't matter. So you're
Well, it does matter. Well, okay. Okay, why didn't you ever punch me in the face then?
Because, like I told you, I've never done that.
Okay, but why not?
I've never done
that. What happens if you do that?
Oh, you will get suspended.
Well, you lose your job.
See, but you don't know that. At the time, you didn't know that. You didn't know that until I told you that.
What, if you
punched
me?
Until I just told you.
Well, I had a pretty good idea.
You had no idea. You had no
idea. Well, Christian, I have a pretty good idea if somebody gets physical with somebody else in the office.
Nobody got physical with you.
No, I know that. I'm saying, what I'm saying is, let's say you punch somebody in the office. What happens? You lose your job.
Yes.
Because it's not physical. It's radio.
Okay, but here's the thing.
Go ahead.
At the time,
yeah.
You didn't know that. You had no idea. You didn't know. You didn't know. So
I don't understand. Maybe you're right, but I don't know what
you're talking about. You thought that, okay, this is radio. This is the way it should be. No one can touch me. I can say whatever I want.
Right.
I didn't feel that way.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel that way. So, but you didn't know that I was never going to cross the line.
Oh, I didn't think about it.
You didn't know. I knew I wasn't. I knew that I had to get as close as possible and be as intimidating as possible to make you think so. But all the while knowing that nothing was ever going to happen.
So you know what the mistake was? One of the mistakes we made or I made or we never... Like with Lou and Glenn, I knew them. I'd worked with them a lot. We were just never at a point, I think, where like we could have sat down and said, all right, let's just fucking shit on each other. It's fine. No big deal. And we never had that. It was like contentious from the start.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that might have been me because I've been doing it a lot. I don't know. I don't know. But it should have been a thing where it was like that. And then it wouldn't have been a big deal.
Well,
like that tape is not a big deal.
No, it
like if you guys play that, if you guys play that tape of us, I wouldn't have given. I wouldn't have cared.
See, I like those types, like that type of dynamic. I like that. Like that is fun, and it just doesn't exist anymore. We don't do it anymore. But that keeps you on the toes. That keeps you into the show. That keeps you creative, and it gives you ammunition, and it gives you discussions or debate.
Right.
That to me, I like that.
Right.
So what I don't like is when I don't know what the rules are.
Right.
So I didn't. You had a set of rules, and I had a set of rules. So when I talked to you before I did my show in New York, I told you, do whatever you want. Like, please, we will not have any issues anymore.
No, we didn't. I don't think.
No, and then you still shit on me. And
not as my.
You did, and I was, and I remember being fucking pissed because when you did it, it was good.
Right.
And we're going, well, shit. Like, I got to be better.
Right.
So it had nothing to do with whether my feelings were hurt.
Were your feelings hurt though?
No, not
ever.
No,
like
no. Oh. But it was more of a this guy's trying to stick it to me.
Are you a pussy? That's what I'm asking.
Yeah. Well, what the fuck was I saying?
Who knows?
No, but the
something.
Point is that it's that's fine. I'm all for so the thing that I
I didn't
radio,
I didn't believe that. I believe that. I was probably wrong.
What, when I was on the phone with you?
No, maybe. I don't remember the specific.
No, that's fine. I said now that I know. I told you now that I know what the rules are, and this is how. Dude, do whatever you want.
Right.
Go ahead. So, but sometimes, because hating and sometimes it's just, hating somebody takes way too much fucking energy. It just, way too much energy.
No.
I can't do it. Yeah. I'd rather have a working relationship and, hey, listen, good one today. Because it's more similar to what I grew up in. Like, okay, you one-on-one competition, linebackers versus tight ends. Blocking drill.
Right.
Hey, you're really good. And I know you're good.
Right.
And you know that I'm good. Well, you won today. I'm not pissed at you for beating me. I'm mad at myself for not going at it the right way. I should have had a different angle. I want the competition. I want the back and forth. I want someone to try and
so you must miss
that
then.
No, it is different. It is a different. So when I used to come into work, and even when I were driving to work, we would listen to your show.
Right.
And just waiting for something to happen, whether you guys had a point, maybe you said something stupid, just whatever we could use to either. I don't know, stoke the fires, use it against you, whatever. Mm-hmm. And sometimes sometimes the stuff that you did was better than I was going to do. So I'm not going to go into a gunfight and bring a knife, Cool
yeah.
movie.
So, good one.
So it didn't make any sense. So if I had an opportunity, I took it. But and if I didn't, I was like, oh, I'll get him next time.
Yeah, I feel like our relationship took a while to get to where like we would see each other even after that and be kind of fake friendly.
Well, it just here's the thing,
and which is like,
do you have friends? See, I have friends.
Yes, I
where,
have friends.
Not a lot of them though.
Not many.
Okay,
why? But you have a lot of friends.
I have certain. Well, I think everyone should have at least five good friends in their life. They should
That's
keep
a lot.
Forever.
That's
it is a lot. But I have certain friends in my life where If we get in a car, we're going cross country. If we don't say a word to each other, it's not weird.
Not a big
it's
deal.
It's not awkward.
Not a big deal.
Because I know who you are.
Correct.
So I'm not sitting there dissecting it, going, why isn't he talking to me? Right. He didn't say anything about my shoes.
Right.
Oh, did you see my haircut?
Right.
I mean, that. It's not a big deal.
Yes.
So whatever. I just didn't think any of it. It's just Kirk being Kirk. What the hell? I don't care. I wasn't taking it personally. I wasn't overanalyzing it. I was like, oh, so the guy just ended the show. All right, see ya. Like, that was
right.
It. Very easy. No heavy lifting.
See, I'm an analyzer.
Until you get the answer, though, right?
So now, but I sort of like to know where the temperature is all the time. That's
So to me, the temperature was right where we wanted, right at 70.
Nice, yeah, that's about right.
And if you want to crank it up, but it'll never go to where.
But
it was.
I never thought in 2016, November 2016, that we would have. And again, we're not best friends. But we have a relationship like we do even have now.
Yeah,
we legitimately, you know, when stuff's going on, we reach out and just check in. Like, that to me is a surprise.
Like, you're an odd guy for the most part.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's nice of you to
say. But I think.
What do you mean?
But even having conversations with you sometimes, it's odd.
Well, how do you mean?
It's just there's, you know, I don't want to sit there and dissect what you're thinking because you're quiet sometimes.
Yes,
and maybe it's like, I don't want to, it's like, you don't want to be, I got to labor. Hey, how you doing?
Right.
Hey, how's everything going?
Not the greatest.
I know you
talker,
don't really
right.
mean it, but
well,
whatever.
That's not true.
Sometimes. Yeah. And sometimes it's just, hey, what's up? Like, what if hey, how you doing? Oh, like, do you really want to know about my life problems and all my issues? Sometimes. If it's serious.
Sometimes. You're somebody, you know, I would say I actually care about. And, like,
yeah.
I hope, you know, we've been through similar things.
Yeah.
And we've had, you know, that stuff. But you're right. Like, on the day in, day out. But well, how does that make me odd? It's like everybody else. Who the fuck wants to hear about people's problems?
Lou doesn't talk that way. Lou's not like that.
Maybe
Glenn's
Lou?
Not like that.
Oh, so
Gary's not like that.
So Glenn's not odd?
In his own way, but I can see how people would be uncomfortable around you. They don't know how to act around you. They don't know what to say around you. They probably feel like, and you said you're an analyzer. So now people know that. So here comes some guy. Hey, I want to say hi to Kirk. And here you are. He knows you're dissecting. So he's awkward. He's fumbling his words. He doesn't know what to say. And you probably are shitting all over him or waiting to use that in some sort of podcast or show.
Maybe.
So that's my point. So you have to not give a shit. Like, if you're going to be, if I'm friends with you, like, I don't give a shit. Like, that's part of being a friend.
I agree.
I don't give a shit. Like, dude, whatever. He's fucking odd. So what? But who gives a shit?
Bump.
So to me, that's the beauty of it. That if I know you're odd, I know you're fucking weird, and I'm not, that doesn't bug me. So we were sitting in here just chatting, and it wasn't, we weren't really, there was some dead air, but I didn't give a shit.
What, before we started?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
but that's.
Know. Right.
So what?
Right.
But I could easily see someone coming in who doesn't know you or doesn't get you. And Lou used to tell me this all the time. And I was like, fuck him. I was like, why are you fucking friends with that guy? I'm like, why are you fucking fuck that dude? Oh, he doesn't give a shit about you. I'm telling this. It's like, he doesn't give a shit. You know, it's
not true.
Well, obviously.
Right.
But at the time, I was like, I honestly kept telling him, why are you friends with him?
Right. And what would he say?
He's an asshole. Well, he basically said.
Lou's an asshole.
Yeah,
yes.
Lou,
yes.
He's time a closet said. Asshole.
He is.
He would basically say what I was saying. You just don't know him. I was like, you know what? Because I don't fucking want to know him.
Right.
How about that?
Right.
And I would get mad at Lou
for being friends with me.
Yeah. I was like, it's almost like, dude.
That seems to be a little layered.
I was like, pick a side. Pick a fucking side, dude. Like, either you're with us or against us. Whoa. And, you know, he worked with you at Comcast.
Yeah, we've done shows together.
Formerly known as Comcast.
Oh, yeah, whatever it is now.
You know, and then I was good friends with Tang Wei, and even when this all happened, I remember I was on the phone with Tang Wei for a while, you know, trying to figure out what to do. Should I take it seriously? I mean, should I lawyer up and protect myself? Like, what am I doing? Like, what's this? I just didn't. It was a lot going on, and then I was like, fuck it. I honestly was like, fuck it.
It's the right move.
It worked.
Yeah, it did.
It worked in the end. It worked.
Yes. So all right. So yeah, we got past all that. Whatever. We both had good runs together. Obviously, I'm gone now, but
for now,
no, I'm gone. I'm gone.
Here's the thing.
No, I'm.
Here's
you keep
thing.
Saying this.
Here's the thing. You know. Here's the thing.
You don't want me back in your
no,
life.
No. Listen. Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, I'm a Christian.
Here's the thing.
I
know you can act all you want. I know you're fucking miserable.
I'm not at all miserable.
Oh, I get my check all the time. Oh,
is that how I talk? I've never done in my life before. I said something. You tried to do an impression of me once. It was terrible. It was really.
I couldn't do it. I actually tried. It just
it was
sucked.
Bad.
It sucked.
Bad.
It was terrible.
And you're like Rich Little. It's weird. You're
I know.
Master of impressions.
One voice. I have an Ordway and a Mr. T. That's it.
That's true.
All my prank calls, my award-winning prank calls.
See, I'm actually an underrated mimic.
I should give you credit for that.
I have Dick from Upton. I have Glenn. Yeah. Actually, that's about it. I'm no better.
Yeah.
I have been miserable, like legitimately miserable in the past. I'm not.
I tell you, I say
when I'm miserable.
Not buying it.
I would tell you.
Okay, you think. Okay,
we talked the other day on the phone.
This is fine.
You were begging me to come back the other day on the phone.
I think you don't belong doing these fucking podcasts.
This has been good.
No, this has been fun.
Yes.
Okay, but this you need to be on the air.
No, I don't.
And at some point in time.
Why?
Because that's just who you are.
I'm on the.
I
think I'm full of shit.
I think it's more fulfilling battling day to day than getting out of bed and just, you know, trying to talk to guys like myself or do, I don't even know, whatever it is that you're going
to
do.
Thank you for listening to this podcast, clearly, day in, day out.
Well, here's the thing. This will be the only one that I listen to. I wouldn't listen to it just because it was yours.
This will be edited to make my side of the story look more favorable.
Listen, whatever it is, I think the station overall is better.
It's better right now.
Well, I think it's...
You're saying without me.
No, I think ultimately, I think when you...
It's okay.
Whatever you can do to get the best talent on, that's what you should do. Now, you're saying, I think there is a side of you that knows eventually the opportunity to come back will arise.
No, I don't think so.
It will.
I don't want to do it.
I know you keep saying that. You're lying to yourself.
I'm not lying to myself.
I don't believe you.
Last thing I want to do is wake up at 4 o'clock, drive in, be miserable, talk about the same three stupid things, and do it again the next day. I have no desire to do that.
I don't know. I think there's you're too young to be just...
I'm not
working 4 hours a day.
Well, that's what the job is.
No, but it's really an hour, and the other 3 hours is just walking around,
yeah,
talking
true.
To people. You know, hey, where's the engineer at? Where the fuck are you?
Is it sad to watch me at this point?
It's just like here he comes in his pajamas again.
Once a giant.
just pajamas. I got one thing for you.
Go ahead.
Okay.
You ask whatever you want.
What's your issue with Keith?
He's just boring.
Do you think
he's just
a
sporto bore?
See, I disagree.
And I find it more offensive because I think he's actually a closet, like you said about Lou. He's a closet asshole, and he buries it. He doesn't want to work with Dale. I'm sure there's no way a guy his age wants to work with fucking Dale every day.
Yeah, see,
he's boring.
Like
they talk about sports. It's just for me, I find the guy to be a total bore.
So, but why can't obviously, there'll never be any altercation between you and him because it's just you guys just don't cross paths.
It doesn't matter.
Right?
It doesn't matter to me. Yeah. I
sit there and I go, well, he won't lie. If I was him, I wouldn't come on your podcast.
Why not?
Come on, man. Because, you know, you're being a dick.
I was a dick to you came on.
Yeah, but it's like
we had a reconciliation.
Yeah, we had like a weird.
We did have a weird. The timeline of it would be like.
You're the last person I ever thought that I would.
That you love.
Well, I wouldn't go that far ever. But.
Would you cry if I died?
No.
You wouldn't?
No.
Would I cry?
Who's doing the? Who's giving the?
The eulogy?
Yeah, who's giving the eulogy?
Glenn. 2.5 hour eulogy.
He was ahead of his time. I remember he came in.
I'm
gonna make you a star.
I told Wolfie this guy's got something. How about some stories about him, Glenn?
Oh my God. Can't take it.
And then never even gave the Big Show a chance on FM.
We were on AM.
Glenn, this is a.
I want to know the funniest moment ever, and this was when Glenn came in with a fucked up tooth.
That was funny.
That
when
maybe
he did the trending. That was funny.
He didn't tell anybody, and he kept trying to get through it. It was so funny.
But Keith wouldn't do it. Yeah, Keith wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I think I like Keith.
They're good. That's fine.
I do.
I think
their show's doing well. I like those guys. It's weird. I will say I just don't get when I listen to some of the, when I listen to that morning show.
Ooh, go ahead.
No, I'm not about yours. I'm talking about the one across the street.
Oh, that's not mine. Anyway,
I'm amazed that it's even.
Well, I'll be honest.
Competition.
I'll be honest. I'm amazed, and I think part of it. And I've talk to Glenn about this. Glenn will call me occasionally and we'll have really good back and forth conversations where they're really short. And the amazing, one of my favorite Glennisms is when Glenn repeats a piece of gossip that you gave him back to you. I'm here right now. Glenn, I told you that 3 days ago.
He does it. Lou will say something. And Glenn will take it as his own.
Right.
And then we say, hey, Glenn, we just said, oh, no, you didn't. I just came up with it.
Doug Lane told me that. What were we saying?
I don't know. Shit. Across the street shows.
Oh, yeah. I think you guys, like, I don't listen to a lot anymore, but I like your show better than their show. And I think eventually people will. It takes a while.
Yeah.
It took us a while in the mornings. I told you this. I'm sure it's frustrating right now, but if you do what you guys do, which is different than what they do, and you continue to have fun, you know, I think, you know what I think there has not been yet, though, so far, is like that moment. You know what I mean? There's that sort of buzzworthy thing that happens that people kind of just sort of jump on board.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And even when we were doing the midday show, I remember how long
it took a while
for us to just slowly chip away at it and get an audience and then keep an audience and then finally beat them. I remember going, wow, because they had a vice grip on that spot. I mean, nobody, they're just running away with it.
Right.
So you start over again. The competition's a lot better. The show, but I know we have a better show than them. I am 100% convinced of it. Chipping away at the audience and convincing people that we're worth it is going to take some time.
You know what's missing, though? I do think, and maybe it's because
a fourth voice.
Yes, fifth voice.
A fourth man in?
Yeah. I think part of it is maybe because I'm not around anymore. I don't know. But there doesn't seem to be that thing throughout the day where it seems like it's a community. Everyone seems like they're on their own island.
Yeah, and I think you're right about that.
And it can be too much sometimes. Like, I get accused of that. I get it. But there has to feel like this connective tissue. We definitely had it, obviously.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, I don't know. It just feels like that's...
Well, I feel like the whole station... Just there was so much stuff happened, and then we're basically almost have to start all over again. Just everybody getting used to their spots, you know, what their job is, you know, what their role is, whatever that means. I just feel like that as a whole is going to take some time. I almost feel like we started over
when I left, or after the other stuff.
Well, just with it all happened together with my suspension, my week long suspension,
right?
You and just everything on that's probably still going on now. I don't even know anymore, but just we reached such a high point that it all got kind of chopped. Our legs got chopped from underneath us, and we just have to start all over again.
Did you know right away that you were fucked last February or no?
No, I did not.
So I could tell you. So we were. That day, we went down. Jerry and I went down to Philadelphia.
Yeah, I know.
I called you on the way back. Remember?
Yeah.
To meet with the guy who owns the company.
Yeah.
And I remember we left the meeting because this is all when all the merchant stuff had really started kicking off. And I remember walking out with Mark Hannon, and Mark turned to me. We're walking out of the restaurant, saying, "As long as we stay out of the headlines for a while, we'll be fine." Oh, and I said, "You know what? You're right."
I know.
Got off the plane.
Beep,
turned it
beep,
on.
Beep.
Saw it. Not even that. Saw the Deadspin story, and I was like, "Up." Off to the races we go.
I actually thought Joe. Just I remember the text messages. Joey was happy. Everybody was fired up. You guys.
Our meeting.
You were in Philly.
Yeah.
When you guys were in Philly, everything was great. Okay, great. Because we're all concerned about it. We're all wondering what's going on and
right.
how are we going to be okay? What, do they just want to get a face to face?
So I heard it in the car driving there. The Yee thing.
Yeah.
And I thought. Like, you know, I'm not going to tell anybody to edit anything. And I was like, jeez, I don't know. In this world now, jeez. But honestly, it wasn't the kind of thing. I got on the plane, didn't think about it again. Like, it wasn't like it dominated my thoughts during the day.
Yeah.
And I got off the plane, saw that, called you. And I was like, it's Friday night. I don't know. And then to Sunday afternoon, I remember talking maybe to Jerry or Glenn or somebody and be like, they're going to fucking fire this poor guy.
Yeah.
Did you think you were going to get fired or no?
Man, I didn't know. Honestly, I didn't know. I wasn't sure because it started off, the more steam it got, the more attention it got, the worse it got.
Right.
And even though...
There's EEI attached to it too, which doesn't help you, our shit.
It just gave a lot of fuel to a lot of people who didn't like us.
Who wanted
didn't
it,
like us.
Right.
Not just me.
Oh, no, me
but
and
to you,
of course,
Jerry,
of course,
just the whole station in general, I just felt really responsible for bringing so much negative attention to the station that I honestly love. Like, I love my job. I love the people I work with. I love coming into work. And it wasn't always like that. I remember leaving.
No, we were in a good place at that point.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we had some shit going, but we were all pretty, yeah. The ratings
everybody
were really
happy,
good.
The ratings were good. Everybody was making money. Everybody was happy. And I think at that point in time, you just knew that was just the tip of it. That was just the tip of the iceberg. And
well, it blew up. I mean, I've been part of, you know, the Aaron Andrews thing, which got big and national.
Yeah.
Not even as, but, you know, not quite as big in a different time in history, too.
Yeah.
Where suddenly this becomes, and you know, the Globe wants to screw us over.
Yeah.
So there's that as well. And you, listen, you screwed up. Like, everyone screws up. That's life. But it became this sort of people were jumping on it just to jump on it.
Yeah, and I felt I don't know if the other thing is like I hate bullies, like right. I hate them, and because I was bullied as a kid. And I'm passionate about, and that's one of the things I felt like you were trying to bully me, which is a trigger naturally. And big issues growing up as a kid, my brother constantly like saving my ass. And right. That was a brother that died.
Right.
So it was weird at the time. And I remember-
He had just died.
He had just died, and that happened a week later.
Because you weren't at the Super Bowl
for
the beginning of the week, right?
For two days.
Yeah.
And I remember, I fucked up, but I feel like I'm just a- getting picked on left and right.
Yeah, got on.
And I knew that it was bad. I knew that I had to apologize to a lot of different people. I knew it was going to be a long journey.
Well, you fell on the sword. I mean, you did.
Well, I mean, you have to.
Well, but I also think, like, you know, there's a way when you feel like you screwed up and you apologize,
yeah.
Which I think you did.
Yeah.
Which I've done the past two versus having to apologize. You know what I mean? Like, you felt like you screwed up, and to your credit, you went to Houston.
Yeah.
To meet with this community. You took plenty of beatings, but it became, which ultimately, by the way, led to the now infamous meeting that we had all day, the station.
Oh, the sensitivity training. Which, oh my God. They honestly,
which
I
turned into the
wish.
Let's have everyone have their moment with Kirk Minahan. Meeting.
No, not
oh,
really.
Oh, yes. Not
no,
you, not you, not
no,
you, not
no,
you.
No, that was, some people did.
Totally.
Some
totally.
People did. And some people just shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Like who?
I didn't think Tomasi needed to be there.
Yeah, why?
Tomasi said something, and
it pissed me off.
Smack him.
It pissed me
off.
Dude,
shut the fuck up, dude. Just fuck.
If you had smacked him at that meeting, that would be legendary.
Just don't take one of those Panera sandwiches. Like, just beat him over the head.
Sopranos intervention for Christopher.
Reamer was there. Like, what is Reamer doing here? Comic relief. No, but it was.
Well, I remember. Yeah, So Tomasi was not on the show for months after that. I don't know if you remember.
It pissed me off too.
I was like, "Fuck you."
Good.
Like, you know,
he deserved it.
Like, why are you like there? So you talk about the bro code, right? Then you and I have a different. So I. Like, that situation, you and I are in lockstep.
Yes.
Like, we're here. We're going to listen to these people. They're going to make points. But we're not here to try and get each other in more trouble.
Yeah, which I thought was such a grandstanding, cheap
shot. It was
shot
a total,
to the whole fucking station.
Total horseshit.
I was like, dude, what the fuck is
I
wrong
agree.
With you?
Total horseshit move. I agree.
Honestly?
Yes.
So,
I don't remember the specific, but I remember sitting there.
I do, because I said something, and
well,
he
I remember
commented
your point.
On it.
Yeah.
And I was just talking about this the city as far as the shows and the ethnicity that is on certain shows. And what we had as a station was, well, you couldn't find this in any other place in the United States.
Right.
As far as the people we allowed on the shows and the opinions that we allowed to be heard, it didn't exist anywhere.
Doesn't exist on any other show
no.
anywhere.
And no. And I would say in all three stations, all three shows had something that was unique and different that should be applauded, not pissed on.
Well, all we have is diversity of thought. Like, we want to disagree.
Yes.
Yes.
That's the goal.
Which, by the way, Tomasi is proof of that.
Yeah.
Like, his existence is proof. So he went up and he started mouthing off about something. I had the same. I remember looking at you and being like.
What? I was just so. It was like, dude, do you want a soapbox right now? But
there was a lot of that in that meeting. There was a lot of people. Even Reamer said something. I'm like, what the fuck are we doing here?
Again, though, Ordway, just being Ordway.
Wait, what was his thing? Oh, that's right. That's
no,
right.
He's. I remember, like, he was kind of like hanging around.
That's right.
Next thing, he's like, you know, he had to put his two cents in. Yeah.
But it was during the break. Remember with the lawyer?
Yes.
He was telling the lawyer about, like, you know, like. I'm telling you, they're having trouble finding the midday host in Chicago. They can't compete. I'm like,
I had nothing to do.
Did nothing.
Anything nothing. We were talking about.
Did you read Radio 8 this month?
I read something. I'd like to talk about it.
Jason Barrett, why is he consulting?
Oh, my God.
But that was a crazy day. A
I actually got to the
day.
Point, you don't even know about this. There came to a point where there were so many different crazy dynamics at this station when I first got here. I actually approached Phil. I had a buddy of mine.
Phil Zachary, yeah.
Phil Zachary. I approached him. I said, listen, I have this lady who I did a bunch of pilots
reality
for.
Show. We met, reality he came show. And met with us. Yeah.
I said, this isn't make-believe. This shit's real.
Right.
This is so fucking easy.
It's not a bad idea.
And it
I think
been
we met.
Great.
I think we met with
yeah,
somebody.
Yeah, she came in and she filmed for a day, I think. It was real quick. And then she ended up getting another job and she bailed.
Oh,
and
imagine having that year, though, this past like year
it,
and a half.
Was, you can make it up. There was always something every day, and it wasn't.
But fake. Now it's quieter. Now
it's
you can
very
just,
quiet.
You can just relax now.
Yeah, you can relax and you know, drink a coffee, you know, wait for the light to go on, and then get going.
Was there anything in that last year, though, when that all that shit happened that just fucking pissed you off, though?
Yeah, there was a ton.
Yeah.
A ton. Nothing that I would get in that publicly.
Oh, well, all right.
I wouldn't get into it publicly.
Great.
But
thanks for being here.
Well, I think I've said enough.
How about that bullpen?
The bullpen? No, no, nothing related to my guys. My guys are great. My guys are great. The thing with
I think the on-air guys are pretty overall were pretty damn good, right?
No. Yeah, it's no, for the most part. Yeah. But there's what are you going to do? They can't help you.
They can't help you. It's just you're on your own.
No, you're, and they can say all the right things, but I think in the end everyone's just happy it wasn't them.
Yes. Oh, I can tell
They're
you.
Just from, happy it wasn't them.
Well, I remember calling you that night because I was driving back from the airport and being like, "This, essentially that, like, hey, listen, I could tell you I've been in a similar situation, but you honestly just cross your fingers and hope the right people don't the wrong people don't get their hands on it and turn into something else.
Yeah.
You know, but
well, and that's part of the reason why. I mean, listen, they could have really screwed me. The EI could have really intercom really. They supported me. They did as much as they could for me. And did I deserve it? Probably not.
Deserve what?
Did I deserve a second chance?
Oh, they meant you deserve to get suspended.
But based on
you deserved a second chance.
Yeah, and I think so too.
You did.
The whole let's just like great. You suck. Get rid of them, banish them.
Right.
Such a shitty way of winning.
What is accomplished? Like, so now your career is ruined.
Yeah.
And you're this, asshole with it. It's like, and you're not. So
there needs to be a pound of flesh, though, Kirk. You know?
Does there?
What they tell me.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's a new thing.
I'm doing a podcast.
I would bread that shit up and I put it in the fryer.
I didn't know that.
Sandwich, put some marinara sauce.
I had no idea.
Some provolone cheese.
But you're right. But we now live in a world, and I talk about this all the time, where, okay, let's get Tucker Carlson today. Let's get Jesse Smollett today, whether he deserves or not. Let's get this guy. Let's ruin this guy's life, this girl's life. Fuck him. Fuck her.
Yeah.
And they just want to move on to the next thing. Yeah. They don't really care.
Yeah. The whole...
Some do. Now, I'm sure there are people, as they've been offended with me, I'm sure there are some people who are offended with what you did.
Yeah.
Probably.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Right.
But just the whole mentality about someone's life should be destroyed. They should destroy their life. You should take away their livelihood. You should they should lose their home. Salespeople should lose accounts
that they've had forever. Yeah.
Right. So they should suffer. So that's not enough. Like the pain has to be significant.
Well,
it has to hurt. It has to really hurt.
Of course.
Right. And then we're gonna build you back up slowly.
Right.
Slowly. We're gonna give you a little bit here, a little bit there, and then don't get out of hand again though.
Yeah, make sure you're timid. That's the important right.
And I think that was part of my issue. I was so
I could tell at first.
Timid and scared. Even now you just have to be so careful with what you say and how you say it. There's so many things that are said and if I was talking to my friends in my backyard, it would be a different story.
Of course. Well, that's the way do you blame Nick from Boston at all? That's the Twitter guy who pretended
if
that thing never happened, you should blame him.
No.
Because that would never happen.
I knew what I was doing. I knew. I knew at the moment, I was like, fuck. I was like, okay, nobody's saying anything. The producer didn't say anything. Nobody came into the building. I was like, okay, I guess I'm fine. And then I didn't think about it again.
Right.
And then next thing you know, I got a call. I was like, oh, fuck. And then I heard it. And then my kids heard it. It was fucking bad, dude. It was not a comfortable week.
Huge national story.
Believe me, I was walking around.
When did you get suspended? Sunday night?
Probably.
Yeah, for the week.
It all happened pretty quickly. And I was on the phone with Don like right away.
Right.
That night, like Friday night, I was talking to Don and Saturday and all throughout the whole ordeal.
Because you knew him.
I mean, I didn't know.
I mean,
Bray,
knew him.
But
we
were all
him.
Connected.
Right.
So,
through,
I, mean, yeah. I was just going through my Rolodex and looking at my contacts, trying to figure out, you know, hey, listen, there's a lot of crazy shit going on. Here's what happened.
Right.
You got to hear from me.
Right.
Because someone's going to take this piece and they're going to change it into that, and so, you may get, pissed off a little bit more based on what you read. But let me tell you, I'm sorry. Two, let me tell you what happened. And I hope we can be friends.
Well, you got to show. I'll let you go in a minute. Have you donated your brain? Are you going to donate your brain?
I saw Chris. What is it? Nowitzki.
Yeah.
I saw him at the Super Bowl, and I told him that I would.
Okay.
But
this year? No. I'm saying this year. This year's Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Saying.
This year. Yeah.
Not this year. I hope that's not the case.
No. I would. I definitely would. Yeah. I think it's. That is.
Do you feel
real
like?
Thing.
Do you feel like yours is like? I mean, is anything started yet?
Here's the thing. I don't know if it's just old age.
Well, you're not that. You're like my age, right?
I'm 47.
Yeah. Well, that's...
So
did you see that Nick Bonacani documentary on HBO?
No.
Does that stuff bother you or no? Does it scare you or no?
I almost feel like it's like Russian roulette.
Yeah.
Either some guys get it bad.
Yeah, some guys don't.
And some guys don't. Like some guys are like freaking.
But it's positionally
Rams.
Though, isn't it though too?
I don't even know if that. Maybe you're predisposed. Maybe you get three hits to your temple, and it's worse than me getting 1,000.
How many would you say you had in your concussions in your life?
Not a lot, but it's the repetitive hitting
right.
that I think. When I was in college, I watched the clock. When I was in college, we had this thing called, it was called Ride the Side.
Yeah.
And this was back when the whole wishbone, and I was a 195-pound wingback. So right. we would do this drill for 20 minutes right. where I would be in the backfield, and I would have to ISO block a linebacker. And this wasn't thud. This what ISO block means you're basically running into each
sprinting
other full
into each
speed.
Other. It's a car
no
crash.
Shoulder bullshit. Right. You're two Rams head-to-head. We did it for 20 minutes, and I remember some guy pussed out, and he got hurt, and it was just two of us, and there were like five fucking linebackers. We do it. They say, run it again. Do the pitch rotation. Run it again. Run it again. My head, I remember my head, I was almost crying at night because my head was throbbing because of the contact that I had from that drill. And my friend ended up retiring. He was a wingback also because his head actually ballooned up. Ballooned. It swelled up. Then they tried to get him to keep playing, and they changed his helmet to give him a specialized helmet
so that could
compensate for the swelling in his head.
That wouldn't happen now.
He quit. He was my roommate for 4 years, and he fucking quit.
Do you see, I mean, when you go to these things now, I mean, do you see these guys used to play with? Can you see it already happening or no?
Again, I think I think some guys get it worse than others, and I also think that some guys, just their life circumstances create part of the issues.
What do you mean, like drugs and alcohol? And
well, you know, I'm not working. My wife left me.
Oh,
kids won't talk to me.
Whatever.
I think that could be. I mean, because I've been depressed before. I mean, I've seen therapists when I was playing. I see a therapist now. Just
every week.
I'm starting every week.
But I go. What's the? What do you got? What are the issues?
Well, just you know, marital issues, okay. Life expectancy—not right. life expectancy issue, but just
sexual
issues.
Dysfunction. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I just can't keep it going.
Does it always go back to your dad or no, your mom?
No.
It does with me. Every time I go, it comes back to my dad.
I would, you know what? You know, actually, you say that. I was just having a discussion with my wife. It's all childhood related.
Isn't it scary as a parent? I get so scared now. I'm
it
like, because we try as hard as we can, right? And I'm like, I look at Harry. I'm like, this fucking kid, 25 years from now, is me bitching about something.
Yeah. Well, I just think about just like, you know, when my wife, like, she insists on it, and I need to go because a lot of the things, a lot of the way I am,
you should
is
go.
Definitely a product of my upbringing.
Well, it all is. It all is.
But I was delusional about
it. But by the way,
I would deny it. I said, no.
But by the way, that's
my family was fucking awesome.
That's a product of your parents' upbringing too, though. Like,
yes.
So I mean, it goes all the way back. Like, I'm sure, I don't know, you know, did you know your grandparents at all?
Barely.
So I'm sure, I don't know, maybe, I'm sure one of them had a difficult relationship with their dad or mom or whatever. Or they had a good one. Or one didn't give enough attention, so they smothered you. It never ends. You're trying to battle it all the time.
Yeah, and I would say that...
like, I'm an over-smother with my kids now.
Well, see, so am I.
Like, to the point where it's like, my daughter's 12 now. She's like, Dad, this is like, stop. Yeah. Please stop.
Yeah, I'm really good at being a dad. Like, the other stuff is harder for me.
What do you mean?
Oh, just you know what? I'm selfish, you know, conceited.
Yes, you are.
You know, and it just, you know, thinking about somebody else's feelings.
You have many poor qualities.
Yeah,
I've noticed that.
So that's why I say, but I'm a good dad.
I'm a great dad.
We saw Dumbo. He was great. The elephant was flying.
Going to see a movie, by the way, is not being a good dad. I do it. It's a way to kill 2 fucking hours.
I hate seeing movies.
Oh, really?
I hate bringing my kids to movies because I want them riding their bikes.
Outside, yeah.
I want them
doing shit. Yeah.
We're exploring. We're going hiking. We're going washing.
Oh, you're a great dad. You're a great dad. I got you. Okay, you're
tuck them in a bed.
You're a great dad. Feed them.
The giving tree.
The greatest dad ever.
The giving tree. You know, they jump the tree. They kill the tree.
I think you might be the greatest dad I've ever seen.
So, but whatever. But
so,
it
so
is. It is. I see. I think.
So you have none of these headaches. None of these. I don't know. None of this. Like. So you're not scared. You're not scared of it.
I wouldn't say I'm not scared, but I'm not consumed by it.
All right. Did you think when like a guy like you knew Seau, right?
Yeah.
So
and I would say Seau's issues were somewhat life circumstances.
It seems like it. But doesn't that lead to depression that leads to making decisions that lead to those circumstances?
Yes. I think it all is all part of it.
Right.
You know, and I would say, hey, you could have all the money in the world and still be fucking depressed.
Of course.
And
look at Kate Spade.
Yeah. And still, exactly.
Look at me. Just, I mean, I'm not, you know, there's no like.
And you're handsome too. I mean, you got good looks.
You did say, by the way, you did recently say I was good looking. I remember that.
That never came out of my mouth.
You said that. I was surprised you actually say that.
Here, let me do you a favor. Okay. Mm-hmm. When you do these like Twitter things with your podcast, whatever.
You look good, right?
Don't put your fucking glasses on.
I can't see.
Put a wig on and you are a 90-year-old grandma. Seriously. I saw you doing it. I was like, what is wrong? Take the glasses off.
It's so sad. You wear your glasses.
You need to see. And my glasses look good. You got those like Revenge of the Nerd glasses. Thick ass black rims.
Revenge of the Nerds, by the way, just to end where we started, Revenge of the Nerds, big backlash on that now. Why? Because he doesn't say who he is when he has sex with her at the end with Betty.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
I do. So now that movie is off the list.
There's so many.
Which is one of the greatest movies of all time. Revenge of the Nerds 2, tying in again, sucked.
Terrible.
Sucked.
Terrible. See that?
They all
suck. Started with that and we're in with movies. Good.
Christian 4-8, 2-6 every single day. I appreciate you coming on, apologizing. I accept your apology.
Yeah, that's likewise.
That's fine.
I have no idea what they're doing with our show right now, but I'm going to wing
it. Does it really matter?
No.
At this point? I mean, you do it again tomorrow.
That's the beauty of having three people. If you're not really into a topic, you just...
Want me to fill in for you today? I'll do it.
It'd be great.
I don't care.
I would actually like to go home.
Then let me do that. I'll talk to you later. Thanks.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.